Are you tired of selling kidney for a laptop? You need to take notes in your family WhatsApp group without your boss thinking you're not working? Tired of explaining something when you could just draw it and share it? How about that backache? Is it heavy laptop related? Let the Mesa Fundi come to your rescue. Hashtag freedom with Fundi. Attach Microsoft Office for the ultimate experience. Make the shift and upgrade to the Mesa Fundi with Windows 10 Professional. The Mesa Fundi, flexibility reimagined. Available online and in store at all leading retailers. Mesa recommends Windows 10 Professional.
What's going on? I can't travel to Durban and I really need to see the team. Our telephone bill is through the roof, our server crashed and we've lost all our files.
Are you getting frustrated with problems in your business? Win at work and calm the chaos with Vox's intelligent business solutions. Work smarter, not harder, and connect your business to the world from 899 Rand. T's and C's apply. Visit vox.co.za for more information.
I'm Duncan McLeod and this is Tech Central. I'm joined now by Giovanni Chiarelli, Chief Technology and Information Officer at MTN South Africa, to talk to him about the company's launch today of its 5G network. Giovanni, it's good to see you. Firstly, where is MTN's 5G coverage available and why did you decide to launch in those particular areas?
Yeah. Hi, Duncan. Thank you for inviting me to the podcast. So today is a big day for us. It means that the work that we started 2.5 years ago with the first live test in Johannesburg of 5G network is coming to the light. So we have started the rollout, and obviously it was really supported by the allocation of the temporary spectrum.
Yes.
Prior to that, we did already some enhancements on the spectrum sharing opportunity that 5G has. But now we are talking about a launch that is on the 3.5 gigahertz, so the golden band. And in fact, in our coverage maps, first of all, is announced this one. So today we have deployed in four ways: in Brainstone, in Honeydew, in the Johannesburg area, and then we have deployed in Bloemfontein in the Universitas area, mm-hmm. and in Cape Town. So these are the first three cities where we have the 5G, the 3.5 gigahertz.
At 3.5.
Yeah, but at the same time, we wanted also to go on with the other opportunities in the other bands.
Yeah.
And as you know, we had also temporary spectrum allocation on the 700, so we chose some towns, out of which Port Alfred, Queenstown, for example, Virginia, in which we have deployed the 700. Obviously, different use cases, more on the coverage and low latency opportunity is offered from 5G. And then our journey is also going on the 28 gigahertz, yeah, where we have historically spectrum, but it's quite busy due to the microwave installations that we have around the country that is mostly serving enterprise customers. But we have found some good spots in where it was possible to deploy. So, for example, we have deployed in Hatfield, we have deployed in Edenvale, and we have deployed also in Durban, on the 28 gigahertz. And last but not least, as I was saying, we are still very, very interested to understand better all the opportunities in terms of dynamic spectrum allocation and coexistence of 4G and 5G. The reason why we have deployed 5G in this fashion in two clusters. One is surrounding the area where I am, so the Fairlands area close to our campus, and the second area is in Sandton CBD surrounding the Michelangelo Tower.
Oh, yes. Okay. Now, Giovanni, you mentioned 700 megahertz. I think you said Port Alfred, you've deployed at 700 in Port Alfred, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So we have the first site on air live there. Obviously, there you cannot expect the huge performance in terms of speed. Yeah, because definitely that layer is mostly a layer of coverage.
Coverage, yeah.
Very efficient, obviously, coverage, and definitely in any case, obviously, good latency due to the nature of 5G. So, but I think at this stage where we have still this big question mark about the spectrum allocation, for us is also very important to push on the commercial aspect. For sure, but on the other side, also on the technical aspect.
I'm particularly interested, sorry, Giovanni, in the 700 megahertz band, because obviously that is one of the digital dividend bands, and we still have broadcasters using the spectrum at 700 and 800 megahertz. I presume that precludes you from rolling out 700 megahertz more broadly, particularly in the cities, because of concerns about clashing with the frequencies used by analog television broadcasters. Was Port Alfred a unique situation where there was no television broadcasting in that particular band?
Correct. So we found obviously few spots. Obviously, what we have done, first of all, as soon as we got the news that the spectrum was allocated on that band to us as well, so we did that extra exercise. Based on the positions where the broadcasters are transmitting. And second, we did also a drive testing, which confirmed almost the same results. Mm. In essence, the 700 and the 800, because at the end they leave the same unfortunate destiny for the moment, are severely interfered, especially in the big urban areas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where is impossible. So if you think about the urban Joburg, Cape Town, it's impossible to deploy anything as of now. So the digital migration has to happen in order to free up the frequency. But at the same time, we were looking at some sweet spots and we found a few of them. So potentially in towns and small towns, there is some opportunity, but I would say some opportunity, not more than that.
Understood. So what sort of speeds have you been getting through your 5G network? We watched the launch this morning, of course, and we were seeing 700 megabits per second on the downlink. But what are the average real world speeds that you're seeing on both down and up?
Oh, I think that's obviously a live demo. Mm-hmm. Then obviously looking at the other tests, for example, yesterday, In Bloemfontein, we're above 1.15
gigabits
per second in downlink. Mm. And there is, as we announced, we have worked already with all our technology partners. So if you think about the footprint, obviously core network had to be upgraded, and Ericsson was really instrumental on that. And then vice versa for the access network is Huawei, Ericsson, and ZTE. So all of them. And now there is also a little bit of a competition between the different technology partners. So yesterday there was this WhatsApp picture from Bloemfontein with the Ericsson guys, obviously being ahead of the curve. I'm expecting that in the next few days somebody else will try to pass them and so on. But I think it's a healthy competition from this perspective. We are pleased about
the results. Okay. Now, Giovanni, what happens when you have to hand back this temporary spectrum that ICASA has assigned during the COVID-19 state of disaster? My understanding is that spectrum is probably going to have to be handed back by the end of November. Do you expect that ICASA will allow you to continue using the spectrum in question until after the auction?
I think this is a really unforeseeable. So we don't know what is happening. So, as you correctly said, the spectrum was granted under the condition that was to be returned 90 days after the state of emergency revoked, mm-hmm. Or worst case scenario, by the end of November. Yeah, so in theory, in practical terms, the end of November is the maximum limit for this. As Godfrey mentioned also in the live broadcast, we are very actively working with ICASA in order to see if there is a solution. Obviously, I think the primary road is the primary avenue is to have the spectrum auction very, very soon in order to bridge the gap and to have, in essence, no gap between the end of November and what can be a permanent allocation of the frequencies.
Yes.
This is the main road, I would say, as of now. The alternative is quite devastating because apart from the innovation of 5G, now we are rolling out also 4G on 2600 megahertz, which is also another band that has been even in the temporary spectrum. So and that is even impacting more if it has to be returned, because there it's not just the first few customers that want really to enjoy the 5G, but it's massive in terms of adoption. So by far more than half of our customers in terms of data customers are on 4G. So if we need to return that band, the 2600, it means we will have congestion, significant congestion in some areas. And the only alternative is to build a second site in the same area, which is super expensive.
So given the uncertainty and the fact that you don't know whether there's going to be a gap between handing back the spectrum and getting access to spectrum through the auction, does MTN therefore need to proceed very cautiously in terms of its rollout of 5G? Are you going to put a halt on it now that you've got 100 high sites and wait until the auction before you continue to roll out, or are you going to continue to roll out 5G high sites in the interim?
So yeah, obviously it's a fine balance between the two the two elements. So we think from now on, probably what can happen is still related to the dynamic spectrum sharing, because obviously there we are talking about bands that have been allocated to us in a permanent way. But looking at the 3.5 and the 700, it will be very small scale from now until there is a clear visibility of what is
going. And once the auction has happened, the rollout is going to ramp up massively.
Yeah, definitely, because on this also the preparation has happened in a good part. So starting from last year, we started modernizing the access network in order to make it 5G ready. So now it's just a matter of deploying the new antennas for 5G and the radio units. But the rest, starting from the basebands and so on, is already there.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm imagining it probably doesn't matter too much because there are very few 5G capable devices in the market right now. And it's probably going to take, I'd imagine, a couple of years at least for there to be any sort of mass market take up of 5G smartphones.
Yeah, I think probably you will see the same adoption in terms of curve that we have seen in 4G, but by far accelerated. So if you go back and if you look at what was 1 year ago, the forecast in terms of devices and the range of bands that they were suitable for and so on, now you have seen the time has reduced to half. So I think acceleration is coming. And if you consider, obviously, 3.5, definitely golden band, no doubt on that. But now you see also, for example, in the Far East, 2600 is becoming predominantly a 5G band, more even than 4G as well. And in Europe, the first launches of the dynamic spectrum, for example, in the Netherlands, I think this is plenty of opportunities from this perspective.
Yeah. I guess once Apple releases its iPhone this year, which is going to be its first 5G iPhone, that will spark a lot of interest amongst consumers and uptake of 5G services.
Yeah, correct. So iPhone 12, by the way, is announced to have obviously also the capability of the dynamic spectrum sharing, for example, on 2100.
Okay.
That's the reason why, as we said, we want to progress from this perspective in any case on the dynamic spectrum.
Okay.
Apart from obviously 3.5 and so on. So I think it will be definitely an impressive device.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I saw a very interesting article the other day about Vodafone in the UK working with Ford, the car company, to build a private 5G network at their facility. I think it's in Essex in the UK, to speed up the production of electric batteries. Has MTN had any discussions with corporate clients about potential opportunities for doing similar things. What is your view of this construction of private 5G infrastructure?
Yeah, so that definitely is one of the use cases. In reality, the discussions with the customers, some of the customers started some time ago, and at the time we were still talking about private LTE, so private 4G network in the areas of interest, especially with the mining industry. There have been several talks around that. And by the way, I was really, really amazed to hear that in some of the mines you are still communicating through walkie-talkies and stuff like that. Yeah. So definitely we started already the topic with them when we were still on the 4G wave, the LTE wave, and now obviously the 5G is giving even more opportunities. Definitely due to the lower latency and the higher reliability. So I think for industrial applications, definitely that's now the de facto standard.
Okay. Last question before I let you go, Giovanni. MTN is obviously going to be participating actively in the spectrum auction, which is scheduled, as you mentioned, to happen before the end of the year. You won't only be bidding in that auction for 5G suitable spectrum, but also for 4G LTE suitable spectrum. And in fact, South Africa has never formally allocated spectrum specifically for 4G networks, which I remember when we first spoke soon after you were appointed to MTN, you were expressed your absolute amazement that South Africa still hadn't allocated 4G. Getting access to additional 4G spectrum, which will probably remain the way most people connect to the internet through mobile devices for many years to come. What will the impact be of getting that additional spectrum be on your 4G network in terms of performance and coverage?
Yeah, so definitely it's crucial, mostly for capacity reasons. So today we are at 96% of LTE population coverage. So from a coverage perspective, apart from the digital dividend that you were mentioning before, I don't think there is much to do. Yeah. Now it's a matter of capacity and a matter of delivering capacity at an affordable cost.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is the new challenge. Obviously, all of us have seen the prices dropping in the last 6 months. Big announcements from us, from our competitors, based on the all the triggers that came from the resilience. So you are reducing significantly the price. You need in part to reduce significantly the cost of production. That's very clear. It's a very simple equation. So the only way to do that is to have access to additional spectrum. So you can just deploy new radio units. And obviously you need to do a good capacity planning in our transmission, but you don't need to build a second site, which is adjacent to the first one, just because you have not capacity anymore in the existing spectrum bands. So it's a cost that is three times less approximately, or even more.
Yeah.
So by far cheaper, second, by far faster. Yeah, because as we know, in order to build a new site, you take 6 to 9 months, mostly for permit reasons.
Yeah.
The permits are taking long. Vice versa, if you have already the site and just you need to deploy new radio units, it's a matter of your supply chain. Yeah. 8 weeks, 12 weeks, maximum is time. Yeah, so it's faster and cheaper, and that's the way, obviously, that we have seen in other countries. And we say, why not?
Great. Well, I, Giovanni, I'm pleased to say that I am in a MTN 5G coverage zone, so I look forward to trying it out in the coming days. So I look forward to that. Congratulations on your launch of 5G today. Giovanni Chiarelli is Chief Technology and Information Officer at MTN South Africa.
Thank you, Duncan. All the best.